Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Father, for you with us. We thank you, Father, for you speak to us in the name of Jesus. You speak to us what you would want us to know, what you would want us to remember today. We thank you, Father. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, you're welcome. Greet your neighbor. Welcome them to this Bible study. Yes, we are continuing our study lessons from Rick Joyner's book, The Final Quest. Yes, once again, we are using the e-edition that was made available by Rick Joyner in 2010. The copyright page, we are considering that as page one. Amen? Glory be to God. Last week, we studied about being carriers of the glory. Amen? And essentially what we're saying is that when with unveiled face or unveiled faces we behold the glory of God, we shall be transformed into that same image, okay? From glory to glory. Just as 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 says. And we saw that this is essentially what happened to Moses when he went up, you know, to the mountain to meet the Lord. Okay? When he would meet the Lord, he would take off the veil. Okay? And then he would return carrying the glory of God. All right? Now, we also say that the deadliest veil, okay, the worst veil someone can ever have, which will prevent them from seeing the glory of God and then being transformed into the same image, is the veil of condemnation and shame. All right? When things go wrong, when we sin, okay? And that's essentially what happened to Adam and Eve. When they sinned, they fell into condemnation and shame, and they decided to hide from God. So we say that if we are to be carriers of God's glory, we should always boldly approach Him without fear. When we behold His glory without any veil of shame and condemnation, we shall then be transformed into His glory. And we saw that Jesus, as He communed with the Father, okay, He was clothed with the glory of God. Because He went, He didn't veil Himself. And He basically knew that the Father loves Him. So He had nothing to hide. Glory be to God. So that is how we should be. We should always boldly, you know, approach the throne of grace. Approach the Father. All right? Without anything to hide, without shame. Okay? Glory be to God. Now today we are going to talk about what we all know, but it is what the Lord would want us to bring to mind today. And that is thanksgiving and praise. Essentially, thanksgiving. All right? Thanks what? Thanksgiving. This is closely related to last week's study. All right? Because, as we shall see, thanksgiving and praise brings us into the presence of God. And in His presence, that's where there is His glory. All right? Now, in our book, The Final Quest by Rick Joyner, page 23, paragraph 6, okay? He says that, I started thanking and praising the Lord, and immediately I was in His presence again. It was hard to contain the emotions and glory that I felt when I did this. The experience became so intense that I stopped. Wisdom was standing beside me. Putting his hand on my shoulder, he said, "You enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise." All right? So region says that I started thanking and praising the Lord, and immediately I was in his presence again. All right? Then the last sentence there says that wisdom, putting his hand on my shoulder, said to me, "You enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise." Hallelujah. So we see here that thanksgiving, okay, thanking and praising God, okay, gets you into the presence of God. All right? Because the scripture says, like we're going to see, that you enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Hallelujah. Then we're going to backslide a bit. We have read that from page 23. Now let's backslide a bit to page 22. Page 22, paragraph 6. Rick Joyner says that we kept descending until we were almost at the bottom. Remember, he's coming from up the mountain, he's coming down. Eh? So he said we kept descending until we were almost at the bottom. Just above the levels of salvation and sanctification was the level of thanksgiving and praise. I remember this level very well, because one of the greatest attacks of the enemy came when I had first tried to reach it. Once we had arrived, the rest of the climb was much easier, and when an arrow penetrated our armor, healing came much faster. All right? Now here we see that one of the greatest attacks of the enemy, okay, comes to a person who endeavors to engage this principle of thanksgiving and praise. You know, the devil doesn't want anyone to do this thing. All right? So since the devil doesn't want people to do it, it means it is very important. Isn't it? Because Regina says, "I remember this level very well, because one of the greatest attacks of the enemy came when I had first tried to reach it." All right? And when you reach it, okay, the rest of the climb becomes much easier. Glory be to God. Okay? Now, let's open our Bibles. Psalms 100. For those of you who don't like reading your Bibles, you can already read what? Psalm 100. It is a very short chapter. Hallelujah. Okay? Rachel, you know, if you want, you're looking for short chapters. This is one of them. Then you can say, "Man, I read the whole chapter." Okay? Yeah, Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all your lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanks, with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we are not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." Glory to God. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all your lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his sheep and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. In just this psalm, these five verses, we see why we should be thankful to God. Isn't it? Okay? Verse 3 says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. All right? God made us. All right? You didn't make yourself. So every good, however little it is, that you get to experience in this world, you didn't experience it if God hadn't what? Made you, You understand, So that is one of the reasons why we thank him, Because it is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Glory be to God. Okay? We are the sheep of his what? Pasture. That also implies that he's the one who feeds us. We are the sheep of his pasture. One of the key things about the pasture, the primary thing about pasture is it is to be eaten. Isn't it? Amen? So we are the sheep of his pasture. He provides for us. Okay, you don't provide for yourself. Okay? He gives you the energy, okay, to get something to eat. Okay? So we thank him for that. Okay? Verse 5 says, for the Lord is good. Glory be to God. Okay? Psalm 119, verse 68 says something like, Lord, you're good and you do good. Hallelujah. He is good and he does good. All right? Reasons to thank the Lord. Okay? So, for us who are here today, you can always find a reason to thank God. Even when, man, things are not what? Things are not very nice. Amen? There is always a reason to thank God. Somehow, by the mere fact that you're still alive, it means some time ago you ate some food. Okay? You ate some pasture. Okay? Even if you missed somehow, you didn't have money or food for the most recent meal. But since you're alive, it means you had a meal some time ago. Okay? So he has provided for you. You understand? And we thank him for that. Glory be to God. Amen. He is good. You know, he is what? He is good. We also see how we can thank him. Okay? How we can thank him. Verse 1 of Psalm 100, it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Okay? Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Hallelujah. Okay? Singing. A joyful shout. Okay? That is one of the ways how we can what? We can thank God. Glory be to God. We prepared to do this Bible study like this, But when I read this psalm, I was like, everything is actually what here in this psalm. Okay? Then the benefits, some of the benefits of thanking God are also here. One of them is you enter his courts. You understand? Eh? You enter into his gates and into his courts when you're thankful. Glory be to God. Benefits. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, the other benefits of thanksgiving and praise, which is not really talked about in the passages that we read from the final quest, is the fact that, according to the Bible, thanksgiving strengthens our faith. We talked a little bit about this on 31st, December, that prayer, that thanksgiving service. Thanksgiving strengthens our what? Our faith. Okay? God has promised you many things in the Bible. You know, in the Word of God, through a prophecy, in a dream, in a vision, in a way. God has talked to you somehow about what he would want to do for you, or you believe in God for something he should do for you. One of the ways to become strong for that thing that you believe in God for is by thanking him. Glory be to God. We see in the life of Abraham, let's open Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. You know the story of Abraham, how God promised him a child, a son, okay? And man, things were contrary, okay? The circumstances were contrary to the promise of God. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, that Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. All right? Giving glory to God is one of the things it means is thanking God. You understand? Eh? So Abraham was strengthened in faith. How? By giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's some promises. There's some things someone can believe God for. Eh? And for some reason, sometimes God doesn't explain why. You know, it takes quite some time. You know, eh? And with time, you know, at times, your faith can waver. You might want to give up. Okay? But God doesn't want you to give up. You know, eh? Even you yourself, if you give up, you just be messing yourself up. Eh? You know, because you won't get what you want. Eh? Okay? So one of the things you can do to always be strong in faith is by giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Every time that issue comes to mind, every time doubt comes, okay, immediately thank God for what he promised you. Hallelujah. And you don't have to feel like thanking him. You thank him because it is good, it is right. That's what God expects of you. Hallelujah. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 17. Colossians chapter 2, verse 17 says, Colossians chapter 2, is it Colossians 2? Colossians 2, verse 7, sorry. Let's begin from verse 6. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. All right? Established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it. Yeah? What is the it we are abounding in? Olive? Faith. All right? So that is abounding in faith with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Abounding in faith with thanksgiving. The devil doesn't want you to abound in faith. Hallelujah. That's why Rick Joyner said here that when he tried to get to that level of thanksgiving and praise, he experienced one of the greatest attacks of the enemy. The enemy, the devil, would always want us to be complaining or grumbling, talking about how things are not enough, talking about our needs, comparing ourselves one with another. He doesn't want anyone to start thanking God. And one of the reasons why he doesn't want that is because he knows, you'll abound in faith. And the Bible says that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. The victory that does what? Overcomes the world, our faith. So if you're going to overcome the enemy, it is by faith, or with faith, So how can he let you abound in faith? He can't. He wouldn't want that to happen because you overcome him and the world. So he will always try to just show you how, man, things are bad, how God is not treating you well, how God is not faithful, how God is favoring others. But the Bible says we should abound in faith with thanksgiving. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, the third benefit of thanking God, of being thankful, is that it basically brings wholeness to one's life and fulfillment of all God's plans for us. You remember in Luke 17, that story, the 10 lepers who came to Jesus. They cried out to him, and then Jesus healed all of them of their leprosy. So as they went, they got healed. Then one of them, when he realized that he was healed, he turned back and went and found Jesus and thanked him. And Jesus was like, didn't I heal 10? Why is it that only one has come back to thank me? Where are the other 9? And then he told this other one who came to give thanks, he told him that, go in peace. Your faith, has made you what? Has made you whole or well. Now, this leper or ex-leper, he was healed. He didn't have leprosy anymore. But why does the Lord tell him that, go, your faith has made you well? It means this leper, in addition to being healed, when he came to give thanks, he got something more, something that now made him whole. Glory be to God. Like I always say, when people have leprosy, they lose like their like extremities, toes and fingers, So I believe they were healed, all of them, the 10, healed of leprosy. But this one who came back, he was made whole. I believe now all his, the toes and the fingers were restored. That's what I mean by what? Wholeness. Thanksgiving. Glory be to God. Amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It's like, God, gives you a car. You see, when these cars, when you get a car through the border, and there's a company or someone who's going to drive it from the border to get it to where you are, you know. By the time it gets here, you know, guys switch tires, they remove things, which now you have to go and buy later. Yet you paid for them, you have to buy new tires. You see, So here you are, you get a car, however, with issues, okay? Now, someone who gives thanks now, all those other issues now get sorted. They not only have the car, but they have the real car and what it should have. Something like that, just to illustrate. Glory be to God. Amen. Thanksgiving. Thanks what? Thanksgiving. So that is a bit about wholeness. Then we say the other thing also, it brings about fulfillment of all God's plans for us. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to read from verse 1 to 10. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Verse 5, "But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Okay? God was not well pleased. You all know, one of the things that happened, there was complaining, there was grumbling, there was all, you understand? And because of that, God wasn't what? He wasn't well pleased. Okay? Now, that means, even in this generation, there's this hyper-grace thing, that no matter what, God is well pleased with us. Now, that's true, in a sense. Okay? Because of what Christ did, his death, we're all accepted, before what? The Lord, before God. However, it is not true that God is well pleased with us no matter what we do. Glory be to God. These guys, God wasn't well pleased because of them not being grateful or thankful, even when things were not really the best. Hallelujah. So it means that even in this generation, okay, there are people, maybe all of us here, when occasionally, I hope not all the time, but occasionally, when God is not well pleased with us, because we tend to act like the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness. Okay? When God is like, "Now that one, Joan, I'm not well pleased." Glory be to God. Amen. Hopefully it is just maybe one day, but the rest of the 29 days, or it is a minute, God wasn't what? And you can say, "No, that was the old what? Testament." But verse 6 says, "Now these things became our examples." Became our what? Our examples. So that means, if God wasn't well pleased with them, they are our examples. Even us, God is not well pleased if we do what they did. Isn't that simple? These things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 20,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by who? The destroyer. Was that the devil? Whoever it was. Eh? But at least we know that being is referred to as what? A destroyer. You know, eh? Remember, the Bible said those things happen to, eh? They are our what? Examples. Eh? Now that means if we complain, eh? We're always grumbling. Eh? We don't give thanks to God. Eh? We don't praise Him for what He has promised, which hasn't yet happened. You know, we are in the wilderness, you know, the promises are taking long to come to pass. Eh? Now, if we complain, you know, hopefully we repent so quick, fast, before we get destroyed by the destroyer. Glory be to God. Eh? They got destroyed by the destroyer. Because of grumbling, murmuring, complaining. Eh? Alright? And the Bible said those things happened to them as examples. Eh? Okay? They died in the wilderness. Eh? They never entered the promised land. They never saw the promises. You see, eh? That means if we are not grateful to God, if we don't thank Him, if we don't create a habit of thanksgiving, if by default, we are just complainers, murmurers, you know, there is a possibility that man, you might not see the promises of God. Hallelujah. You might not die before the promise comes to you, but it is possible that something can happen in the spirit, and that whole plot, that whole plan is destroyed. Isn't it? Huh? But the other thing is, you can also die. Because those guys died, literally. Eh? Isn't it? And the Bible said, those things happened to them as examples to us. Eh? So if they died, literally, okay, and they are our examples, eh? It means we can also die, literally. As in physically die. Isn't it? What for you see something else there? Some deep something. Amen? This could be one of the reasons why some of your friends have died. You know, some of your born again friends died. Isn't it? No, let us stop trying to be deep. Let us just read the scripture there. Before we start trying to get deep with 1 Corinthians 10, you know, deep, the Greek and the what? This first, you know, guys died. Eh? And the Bible said they are examples. Eh? Okay? So that means we can also die. If we do what they did, murmuring, not once, not twice. Mkama nabagumikiriza. You know, he was patient with them. Eh? He gives them food. Eh? Then afterwards, they're like, "Now we are tired of that." They let's go back to Egypt. They were cucumbers. And now we're just with this manna only. Eh? You know, okay? They get thirsty. He provides for them water. Or just before he provides them the water, they complain. Yet the water was just around the corner. It was coming. After he has provided for them the water again, Nevadamo. You know, eh? Complaining, man. Eh? They forgot that he had told them, "I'm taking you out of Egypt to a land flowing with milk and honey." I think they didn't know that. Well, they knew, but somehow it slipped their mind. Eh? Eh? You know, that the fact that God is faithful. Hallelujah. We always try to what? In fact, I've never seen this. We always try to get some other things from these what? Scriptures. But there are other things which are very on the surface. Huh? The destroying might happen in the spirit, might happen in life, but there's also the real literal one, eh? Of what? You get off the scene. Hmm? And other people get into the what? You know, the promises of God. Hallelujah. So, one of the benefits of thanksgiving and praise is, we get, it brings about, we shall get to experience the fulfillment of all God's plans, all the plans God has for our lives. Okay? The Israelites did not, you know that there's a generation that didn't. Why? Not being thankful, not being grateful to God. Hallelujah. And that shouldn't be for us. Amen? Hallelujah. You seen that? Amen? These things are not deep. However, these are the things God wants us to... This is what God would want us to hear today. He's calling us to be, people who are always grateful, people who are always thankful. Hallelujah. Just having a promise from God, especially a very clear promise, man, that is, just a clear one. You say, I dreamt. That alone, man, should cause you to be grateful. You know that, things are not as they say, but he told me. And you're like, God, thank you so much. I'm waiting. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, like we had on Sunday, there is a coming famine. Glory be to God. When it will come, I don't know, but it's coming. But, you can make it not come. You can go pray to God and, things get reversed. Otherwise, if it doesn't get reversed, it's coming. Okay? And I don't think it's coming next week. Otherwise, why would God tell us to prepare? Eh? So, he's giving us, he has given us ample time to prepare. Okay? Amen? Amen? So it is, now, and then he says, it is coming. However, get ready not to live a great life, but a greater life. Now, that promise alone, man, so wonderful. If you really believe God, every time you think about you, you're a man, God, thank you, I'm going to live a greater life. You understand? Life is going to be better than it is now. Yet some people will be experiencing famine, but not you. That is if you prepare. Hallelujah. Amen. Most people, the moment famine is coming, the automatic thing to do is to start hoarding. Glory be to God. Okay? People basically just get into fear. Okay, but sometimes you look at even what you're hoarding, it can just be cleared in 30, what? Who minutes? You just go to Chili's and then you spend, it's gone, one meal. Then you're like, man, it's not worth it, man. Okay, but there's another way. You can, save, rather, giving. Do you understand? As a relative, for example, let us be grateful for the life, the greater life that we are going to live. Hallelujah. It's going to be awesome. Okay? Now, like every time I think about LAT, the church, its future, most of you, of course, you don't have to know the future of this church. That's not your responsibility. Amen? But for me, it's my responsibility. I'm the pastor. God, he called me to begin this church. Man, the things which I know, which are coming in the future, the greatness of this church. Every time something goes wrong in church, automatically I just think about where we are going, the Canaan, the promised land, and that gets me excited. Amen? Then all these other things, they are so insignificant. They don't count, man. By just focusing on where we're going, what God is going to use us to do, the great life we're going to have, and I'm a man, God, thank you. Thank you for what is coming. Hallelujah. If you don't get the habit of living in the future, there's something called living in the future. Probably, I don't know, but maybe I think it is the best what? It is the best life. Okay? Of course, the greatest is eternity. The greatest future is eternity. When things are bad, things, are not working out, but you're like, one day I'm going to heaven. Just because we'll be thankful. You are, God, thank you that I'm born again. Thank you that you saved me. Thank you for Jesus. I'm going to heaven one day. And I've read some people have gone to heaven and they say this is how it is. God, thank you. Okay? I've not been to heaven, but I've read some guys, what stories? Guys who have visions, dreams, heaven, and I'm like, man. Okay? In a sense, I've gone to heaven by reading what? Those people's things, man. Amen? Being thankful, will create wholeness in your life. Okay? But also, it will, you'll get to enter the fullness of what God has for you. Okay? What God has for you, what He has promised you. Okay? Grumbling, complaining, murmuring, Man, you might suck it, your blessing. Okay? All right? Hallelujah. And at times, I believe, and I guess it's true, you can even lose a blessing, which you already have, and then you are just saying, then now go, the destroyer who steps in, and he messes up the blessing, and it is taken from you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You have a wife, God gave you a good wife, a good husband, but somehow things are not 100%, then you start complaining, murmuring, then the destroyer sets in. Glory be to God. Destroys the relationship. Okay, if you're a guy, rather if you're a chick, you're complaining, what is this guy, what, you complain about a 2%. The guy is 98%. 98. But the 2% is messing you up. Meanwhile, there are chicks, man, who are man. They are looking at this 98% like it is 200. What? Percent. And then the destroyer, comes in, messes you up. Then the blessing, what? Hallelujah. Okay? You're a husband, God gave you a nice woman. Hallelujah. But she's not from your tribe. She's not from your culture. So she doesn't know how to cook your food which you used to eat. Village, where you come from, where you grew up from. Tamai, she doesn't know how to cook it. And now you make that an issue. You understand? An issue. Then that begin, you forget the 99%. Hallelujah. Amen. Then the destroyer comes in. Then some guy comes and shows you a move. They say, shows you dust. That time. We used to use it in those days. Is it still there, Hallelujah. So let us be what? Grateful. Okay? That helps us to keep the destroyer at bay. Remembering, like we saw, this destroyer, who I believe is a devil, doesn't want us to thank God. Okay? And the attacks of the enemy are greatest at that level. Thanking God. You try and thank God and you're there, then you start thank God. Then my thing will come, but what are you thanking God for? Why, you know? You're thanking God, but you're being showered with dust. Yeah? You know, you're walking, you're thanking God. Then what are you thanking God for? Twenty-nine motor car, dust is hammering you, the sun. You know, it is those guys in cool, what? Harriers, new Harriers, UBB. We should thank God. Category, really, look at you, really, be serious. You're a hypocrite. Yeah? Then you continue, you're like, no, I don't, cars, they matter, God has been good. You know, you thank God as you walk, then a border comes and hammers you. Yeah? That could be an attack. Eh? You understand? Yeah? There's some of these things which man, they are plotted in hell, man, in the spirit world. You have refused to shut up. Eh? Dust is hammer. Meanwhile, you don't have transport, that's why you're walking. Okay? But you're thanking God. You have the energy to walk. You know? Then, the kasana, heat, sun, is on your case, but you're thanking God. Of course, you're thirsty, definitely, most probably. Okay? Then the dust, our Uganda, dust. Okay? But even with those things, you're like, I thank God. You bring to remembrance a promise about a car you have. Then the devil say, you're nothing to thank God. Those guys in cars, why you wish to thank God? You're like, no, thank God. Then say, now I have to get this person to shut up. Organize this for your border. You understand? Organize this for your guy who's working so fast. Then the guy, he hammers you this car thing. Man, from the blue, I mean, where has it come from? Because when you are not thanking God, those things were not happening. You have never gotten a guy who's in a hurry, Then to make it worse, the person pretends like they don't know what has happened. In your head, you're like, but someone should say sorry, I most probably, they even don't know maybe. They were in a hurry, so they don't know that they were messing up people. Attacks of the enemy. Glory be to God. Then you reach home. Now, like, what's your name? Teddy. You reach home. Okay? Because you were walking, so you reach home late when they are finished supper. Okay? And somehow, because you're late, the maid or your sister, whoever, they're like, which is not coming back. Then they mess up your food. Or they don't serve you. I think which is not coming back, and usually, when she comes back at 9, she comes back when she has eaten, she doesn't. So, they serve your food. You know, I was telling someone that all families are the same. All families are the same. The way you make a big deal in Gateva, you don't find your food at home. All families. I'm telling you, all families are the same. Glory be to God. That's why you should never be deceived. That some families don't know these things. All families are the same. I don't know. You tell me, you were here, whether there wasn't anything like that at your home. Where is my food? They say, but we thought, did I tell you? Njagale meleang. And babes, I can imagine babes. You know, the way they are, what? Good at words and what? Quarreling, somehow, the gift of, they are given good, what, speech, whatever, to thank God, but somehow they use them for quarreling, kuyomba, njagala mele yange, mugena, njagala, but I mean, you can kwagala the mele, but it's not there. Hallelujah. So you see, the enemy messing you up, thanking God, the heat, the dust, the sun, the guy hammering you, then you somehow, the devil makes people, he gives the maid or your sister a thought that she's going to come back when she has finished eating. As in, just quickly, eat that food, give it to, aditwe nyongeza tuwe anyata kuse those things. The devil is now, you know, he's coming, you coming from Mtinda, you're thanking God, then he runs to your home. Because now let me, I'm going to, then you get home now, you see, thanking God for what? Now you're even going to sleep hungry. Some of these things, man, say devil at work. The devil at work. Hallelujah. Even married people, you might think that if you are a husband, that somehow your food is always there. Sometimes even husbands find when man, either the wife didn't cook because she was tired, while she was sick, so she didn't cook. You know, And then she said, well, I thought the other food for yesterday remained and it's not there. Or something that you don't like is one which was cooked. And you can't eat this which was cooked. You understand? Hallelujah. Thanksgiving. Very important. You've read the final quest. The moment you attempt to get to that level of thanksgiving and praise, the greatest attacks of the enemy, you've read it. We've read it. They come. Hallelujah. And if you keep at the level of murmuring and complaining, you might not experience the fulfillment of God's promises. Okay? That is essentially why almost all the Jews, the grown-ups, the generation that came out of Egypt, with God intending that they enter the promised land, they didn't enter. Only two did. Joshua and Caleb. Thousands came out of Egypt. Millions. Okay? Grown-ups. Only two entered. Only two. Hallelujah. Only two. What percentage is that? So that means you can have a church, a fellowship of 1,000 people, let's say, and only one person in that 1,000 people gets to experience the promise of God. And others think, now what happened? That prophecy, it wasn't real. That dream, because why? I don't see anyone who can what? Testify. You know, but there's someone who did, you know. But probably some people just were just in the wilderness, the fulfillment before it came, they're just complaining, murmuring, grumbling. Hallelujah. But this won't be us. Amen? It won't be us. It will never be us. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We briefly talked about how we thank him. Psalm 100 said that we thank him with a shout. We thank him with singing. Okay? But let us also read Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 verse 15. It says, therefore by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. All right? The fruit of our lips doing what? Giving thanks to his name. And that is called a sacrifice of what? Of praise to God. Amen? And now this sacrifice of praise, when you look at the Old Testament, there are so many scriptures which talk about a sacrifice and thanksgiving. So that essentially means that thanksgiving should not only be singing, should not only doesn't have to be only the fruit of our lips. It can also be by giving God a sacrifice, something material or financial. Amen. The Old Testament is full of that. All right. Okay. You can give God something and say, God, thank you. You know, like in addition to singing. Okay, give him money, say God thank you. Okay? You can give him something. You can give him a cow, you can give him a hen, Glory be to God. You can give God a phone. Teddy, you can give God your phone. He says, God, I thank you, I'm giving you this phone. Hallelujah. Then you put the phone in the offertory bag, and Rachel finds it. I'm not saying that because I don't have a phone, that I'm campaigning for a phone. I have a phone, it's here. Hallelujah. You can give God stuff. You can give God shades. You put them in an offertory bag. You don't have to put them in an offertory bag, but you can find a way of giving them to God. Does God wear shades? You answer that question. Hallelujah. Kenneth Copeland. Do you know Kenneth Copeland? Kenneth Copeland, he's a very old preacher in the States. But one of, like, you know, who first got the revelation of prosperity, okay? Especially it coming through giving and faith, okay? So those early days, he was so broke, okay? Very broke. But it's like he has to give something to God. He's broke, he has nothing, but he's like, I have to give something to God. He was so broke, and married so broke, okay, that he says, I read a book of it, I think it is called The Laws of Financial Prosperity. You know, he was so broke, and so he didn't have food, they didn't have food, and so each and every day he was cutting weight. Okay? So, because he was, chopping weight, he always had to go to the tailor so that his trousers can be adjusted. Okay? And the trousers had to, like most men's stuff, pockets behind. Okay? So he says, because every now and again he's taking the trouser to the tailor, Okuzike Ndeza, the pockets came like so close, you know, the behind one, you know. He says that if you saw him from behind, you would think his trouser had one big pocket. He said in his book, whether he was exaggerating, I don't know. But the guy was so broke. No food, so chopping weight every now and again. These girls are very happy, man. Amen. So, but the guy was like, if he's in church, China, but he has to give something. He's like, no way, the offertory bag can't pass without me giving something. You know, He had gotten the revelation of giving and, you know, and he's grateful to God. You know, it's like, this word has to work. So he said that one day, the offertory basket or bag is passing. He has no money, but he's like, it is not passing me. I have to give God something. So he says he got his shirt plucked off a button. I think I have to give. The Bible says, do not come into the house without empty handed. Got his shirt, pulled off a button, put it off a bag. Say, you never know. The pastor's son could be having a shirt and he had no button. And then he says, and if the Lord had told him to take off the shirt and give it, he was going to do it. You know, Glory be to God. And now, this guy, I think he was the first preacher in the States to own a plane. Since that time, he has gotten like 30 planes. He's going out, I think, like 30, or, you know, He's one of the, you understand, This Oyedepo, that we know about, Bishop Oyedepo, the Nigerian rich guy, he got the revelation, basically that the prosperity thing from Copeland. A guy who one time his trouser was like one big pocket, didn't have nothing, he was giving a button. You know, But a guy, you know, You can't give like that, When you don't have a grateful heart. When you know, things are bad, but God is good. I have to give him something. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. I think that's enough for today. Amen. But a great things are going to happen. You understand? Eh? Let us be thankful. Eh? You know, the things God has said about LAT, great worship, great this, eh? Man, eh? Those are things to be thankful about. You're like, okay, we are few, but man, eh? Hey, our church is known in heaven. And you're like, man, eh? Hey, God, thank you. Eh? You understand? So many things in your life. Eh? You may not be earning a billion, you know, yeah, but that 100K that you earn, eh? Man, that's wonderful. Eh? Okay? Use it well. Eh? Okay? Hallelujah. You may not have money for a taxi, but you have the energy to walk. God has given you food to eat so that you can have energy to walk. Thank him. Eh? Hallelujah. Then in years to come, man, you'll be a testimony. People will be like, I want to listen to that one, how they prospered. Then you're like, man, I used to do, you know, I used to give buttons. Eh? Glory be to God. Amen? A thankful heart. Amen? Let's sing this song once again. Amen? Thanking God.